Are you a rural farming woman, wife or mother, struggling to find peace in your busy life? Do you find yourself trying to squeeze joy out of your daily routine, manage stress that seems never ending, and somehow reconnect with your passions in the midst of it all? Do you love your rural life, yet often feel overwhelmed by the challenges it brings? Welcome to Cultivate Contentment, the podcast designed just for you. I'm Jessica Knight, a fellow rural woman, wife and mother, and I get it. I've been there. Right there in the trenches, juggling the demands of farm life, motherhood, and carving out moments to take care of myself. Come along with me and my guests as we explore balancing farm life with personal needs on a realistic level. Practical ways to sprinkle a little joy and peace into your daily routine, nurturing relationships without losing your sense of self, and how to keep stress at bay and prevent burnout, all while staying focused on what we really want, feeling content and settled in our lives. So whether you're savouring a cup of coffee before the morning chaos begins, stealing a moment of quiet on your drive to town, or popping in your earbuds while wrestling with laundry and dishes, I invite you to join me. Let's laugh, learn, and cultivate contentment together. Hello, and welcome back to Cultivate Contentment. If you're anything like me, keeping your kids' rooms organized probably feels like a never-ending task. One minute you're sorting tiny newborn socks and the next you're tripping over tractors and diggers and Lego blocks. And I'll tell you, with three busy boys growing up on our farm, I've seen firsthand how quickly their rooms and my sanity can spiral out of control if I'm not careful. I remember one particular stage where toys just completely took over our house. And I promise I'm not exaggerating. Like, the boys' rooms were packed to the brim. They had beds and cots and stuffed animals and action figures. And we're in, you know, a reasonably sized farmhouse, but the bedrooms still aren't very big. And so when you put like all their furniture and some toy storage in, you're about done. And so then our lounge room turned into an obstacle course filled with a playpen, baby swing, bouncer, and every noisy, oversized toy imaginable that didn't fit in their rooms. Then, as if that wasn't enough, our dining room had a ball pit in it. Yep. Whose great idea was it to buy them a ball pit? Because it was emptied out at least three times a day, and I was just like, take a deep breath, put the balls back in the ball pit, and continue on with your day. But yeah, there were just plastic balls scattered absolutely everywhere, and you couldn't walk anywhere without tripping over. But even with all these toys, do you know what my boys loved doing the most? Pulling out every piece of Tupperware and pot and pan from our kitchen cupboards and creating their own little adventures on the kitchen floor. Today, I want to share exactly how I've learned to organize my boys' rooms from these chaotic newborn days right up to their current tween stage, because yes, we have reached the tween stage. And I'll walk you through what's actually worked for us, the simple systems that made life so much easier, and the lessons I've learned along the way. Because let's be real, farm life brings enough chaos without having to battle the endless clutter of toys and everything that comes with having kids in your home. So before I dive in, can I ask a quick favor? If you're enjoying this podcast, it would mean the absolute world to me if you could pause right now, leave a rating and review. Your reviews genuinely make my day and help other rural mums find our community. So recently I received this message from a listener. Loved your podcast, listened early this morning and felt like maybe you had been in my brain. Honestly, hearing things like this reminds me exactly why I started Cultivate Contentment. It's all about letting each other know we're not alone in this messy, wonderful and sometimes overwhelming life that we live as rural mums. And yes, I feel that we are so often in each other's brains. So if you've ever felt the same way after listening, please scroll down on your podcast app, tap to leave a rating and share a quick sentence or two about what really resonated with you. It does make such a difference. Let's start off with the newborn stage. When you're expecting your first baby, everyone tells you about all of the things that you supposedly need. But let me tell you that you really don't need half the stuff that's recommended. With my boys, I quickly realized how overwhelming it was trying to manage all of the tiny baby clothes and the baby gear. My approach became simple. Keep just enough clothing to get through a full week. Because no farm mum wants to do more laundry than she absolutely has to. Do factor in multiple outfit changes a day, especially if you have babies with reflux or if you are up to the starting solids part of the journey, because you're going to need multiple outfit changes a day. But I definitely had too many newborn clothes. Like, I was trying to stuff them in the drawers at points because I just had so much stuff with what we'd been given from people and as gifts, and then what we'd been given as hand-me-downs, and then we had bought some secondhand stuff as well, and we just ended up with so many clothes, and we really didn't need them all. And let's talk about the baby socks and shoes. Honestly, whoever thought that these were a good idea? Whoever thought that these were necessary? Because they have clearly not tried to keep socks on a newborn. Shoes, while they are absolutely adorable and they look really great for photos, they are completely unnecessary until they're actually walking. So save your money and your sanity by skipping these altogether and just buying the onesies with the feet on them. When it comes to setting up a nursery, you can really drown in the baby gear if you're not careful, because swings and bouncers and playmats and nappy storage hangers and bassinets and baby blankets and rattles and dummies and all that list is just endless. So here's my honest advice, the same advice I give for all things baby related. Don't buy it until you really need it. With my first baby, I ended up with bottles and sterilizers and a baby food maker that I never once used. They literally just sat collecting dust in a cupboard. Instead, focus on just a few practical essentials. One of the best investments that we made was a really good quality playpen for the lounge room. And it was great. It was like a big hexagon shape and it had a squishy mat that went with it. And it was it wasn't one of the old school wooden ones. It had like mesh panels. So when bubs actually learned to roll, they didn't roll and hit their head on it all the time. I think the brand was like VB or something similar to that. But it was fantastic because I knew that the littlest member of the house was safe from the older brothers who were running wild, and honestly just gave me peace of mind to get a few things done. We had a cot in the nursery and set up a porta cot in our room for the first few weeks. And that was it. There was no need for a separate bassinet or cradle or anything like that to go in our room, because for us, we didn't have bubs in with us for very long. Their room was close enough that we could hear them and we had a baby monitor to watch them as well. And so this was just one of those unnecessary items that took up space. One of the smartest space-saving tips, especially if you're in a small house, was we had a set of drawers that then had a wooden change table on top. And this simple setup was an absolute lifesaver. It kept all the nappies and the wipes and the clothing all in one convenient space. But it also meant that we didn't have a separate fold-out change table taking up more room in the limited space of our small nursery. A nursery doesn't need to look Pinterest pretty, especially if you're in a farmhouse that's not yours, which is what it was when we had our first baby. We were working on a farm, and so the house was included with it. So painting and decorating, you know, permanent things like that weren't really an option. But if you want it to look cozy and cute and you can't or don't want to paint, removable wall stickers are fantastic. We had these ones and they were balloons, like, you know, like hot air balloons. And you could get all different ones. They were like space ones. And they were, if you were having a girl, they were like pretty pink things. We had these hot air balloons and they were just adorable and they peeled off really easy. And then you just stuck them on the wall wherever you wanted. And it didn't damage the walls at all. And you could actually move them. So when we moved house, we took them down and then stuck them up. And what are we? My oldest is now 12. And those hot air balloons are still stuck on one of the bedroom walls here. So that tells you how long they last for. And it just, you know, really brightens up the space in a really simple and easy way. Lastly, the absolute essential that we had in our nursery was a panel heater. So if you are living in a slightly drafty farmhouse, having a heater in Bub's room just makes things so much more practical, because even if you're not heating the rest of the house, when you start to get those cooler mornings, Bub's room stays at the same temperature, and it just means that you're avoiding those early wake-ups when Bub gets a little bit chilly. Trust me, a comfortable baby is a baby who sleeps better, and more sleep is something that every mum can do with. Now, one of the things that we did have in our nursery was a rocking chair. And I think Stephen spent more time in that rocking chair than me because he loved it. It was a lovely black leather rocking chair and it reclined and everything, and he used to take naps in it. And that's about all the use that it got. Because turns out that I hated sitting in a rocking chair. Found it really uncomfortable. None of my boys were the type that you rocked to sleep like that. And so most of the time I ended up doing feeds out in the lounge room, just sitting on the couch. And if it was late night and that I could pop on a TV show or do whatever I liked, and yeah, it was just much more comfier to me. It really just became another piece of furniture that didn't get used and cost a lot of money. So when you're looking at what's going into your nursery, really have a think to yourself and say, is that what I'm going to do? And I know for most people, they think a rocking chair is going to be really great, but just honestly didn't work for me. Now, really, at this point, nursery, that's all the baby needs. They need somewhere to sleep. They need somewhere to get changed and maybe have a little roll around, because they don't do much more than that. And so then we move on to the toddler years. So this brought a whole new level of chaos to our home, mostly thanks to the absolute toy explosion. And not just any toys. Big, loud, sometimes very annoying toys. I'm talking the trucks, the tractors, the diggers, the noisy push-along toys, you name it, we probably had it. Honestly, their bedrooms quickly reached maximum capacity and the toys ended up taking over our lounge room. But you know what? That wasn't actually as bad as it sounds. Having the bulk of the toys in the lounge meant their bedroom stayed mostly clutter-free. So when nap time rolled around, I didn't have to stress about tidying up their rooms before them settling down, especially when they get to that toddler stage where they're in a bed and they hop out of bed at nap time and play with their toys and things. It actually made it a whole lot easier in that sense. But as farm boys, what mine loved most were their tractors, like all farm boys do. And everything that went with them. We had literally everything required for full-blown carpet farming. Tractors, mowers, balers, rakes, trucks, all sorts of animals, all the little individual fence pieces that joined together to keep them in and to make the yards so that you could load them onto the trucks. Plus the hay bales. You cannot forget the hay bales. And honestly, one of the most frequently asked questions I see in farming mum groups is, how on earth do I store all the tractors? And trust me, I've been there. I've tried every trick that you can think of to get them organized. And there's no perfect solution to this challenge, but I've got a few suggestions that could make it easier. First, when you move your kids from a cot into a bed, try to choose a bed that is high enough that you can park the tractors and the trucks underneath. This is an absolute game changer. Another great spot is in the built-in robes. If you have a hanging section for their clothes, because their clothes are still quite little, they're not reaching all the way to the floor, just park them in the cupboard and tell the kids that you're putting them in the garage or you're putting them away in the shed, because this will motivate them much more to put them away if we're putting them into the shed like Dad does. If you've got the space and you're feeling creative, create a mini car park. So this is a brilliant idea. I can't remember exactly where I first saw it. You grab some masking tape and you mark out like proper parking bays for each of the vehicles. And so it looks like a real car park. And for some reason, don't ask me why, having an organized, real life, grown up car park, for some reason, got my boys genuinely excited about packing all of their vehicles away at the end of the day. Instead of me nagging them to line them up neatly, it was like magic. It was go and park your trucks in the car park. Now, one system I swear by is toy rotation. Basically, you pack away half or more of the toys and rotate them out every few weeks. It's amazing how excited kids get when new toys appear, and it drastically cuts down on clutter. So for storage, I love cube shelves with open containers, and toddlers love to dump everything out this way. It's easy to have accessible storage without lids so they can get to the toys by themselves. And then when I pack them away in the cupboard, it's in, you know, just plastic containers with labels saying exactly what's in there. And another thing I learned is books. There are so many books, and I love books, and I love that my boys love books. But rather than stuffing all the books away in their bedrooms, we set up a cozy reading spot in our lounge room. And so the boys can always know that they've got their books in this space. And when they were little, we had some beanbags and a couch and everything, so it was their real snuggly reading corner. And it's also doubled as a little quiet calm down corner, especially when the younger ones were still having a nap and my oldest wasn't anymore. It gave them something quiet to do while the little ones were napping. For smaller, softer things like stuffed animals, which just seem to multiply all by themselves, a soft toy net above their bed, especially when you get to the stage where they've got loft beds and then they can reach and put the toys in and out themselves, or a dedicated hamper is fantastic because it sets a space boundary around how many toys they can actually keep. If the basket's full, it's time for a cull, and it helps to teach the kids to make decisions about which ones they truly love and they must have. Though my youngest is now just creating, you know, a little space around his bed, so there's enough room for him to fit in the bed with all the toys, and then the hamper's full and the toy net's full. So the space thing really didn't work with him that well. The other thing that I struggled with was the drawing and craft stuff that you get at this age. My boys loved drawing at this age, but it just meant that there was stuff everywhere. We had the easels with the rolls of paper on the top, which they loved, and which meant I wasn't always looking for drawing paper for them. And I honestly still have no advice on the textures and the pencils and the crayons, because they're still a challenge in our house. We have pencil cases and containers, but it still seems to end up everywhere, and they can never find things like scissors or erasers. Another great one is to have a chalkboard on your wall if you are okay with the sound of chalk. Also understand that you really need to be very explicit with them that it's only chalk on the chalkboard and it's not textures on the wall, because they really need that clear differentiation there. And I can tell you that my kids didn't understand that, or I didn't explain it well, because we have texture on our walls many a time. Clothing gets a little simpler at this age. They're still small, but the socks have gotten a little bit bigger, but still same principle applies. though at this point, if they're in daycare, have dedicated daycare clothes because they just get so grubby, and then have clothes that they wear at home or on weekends, and it will just make your life so much easier to understand that those clothes are probably going to get destroyed and that's just what it is. So then we moved into school age, and the way that we organized their rooms at this stage really changed things. This was the stage where their individual personalities really started to shine. And one week they'd insist on sharing a room with their siblings because they love whispering secrets and playing games after lights out. And then the next they suddenly decided that they could not be near each other and they need their own space and they couldn't possibly share a room. And so this was a constant balancing act. And I tried to be flexible. Flexible is the key, but to a point, because there is only so many times that I can pull beds apart and move them from room to room. So to maximize space at this age, we embrace the bunk beds or loft beds. So we've got the loft ones that then have a set of drawers and a cupboard like built into the steps of them. These setups are amazing because they open up heaps of room underneath for beanbags or extra storage. One of them has a desk that actually slides out. When the boys shared a room, it gave us the added bonus of having a separate dedicated playroom, which they loved. It became a space where toys could spread out a bit and then their bedrooms sort of stayed more peaceful and organized. Now let's talk Lego. Lego, Lego, Lego. So much Lego. It just accumulates so quickly. Now, I'll admit that I was the mum who colour sorted all the Lego pieces. I was convinced that it would keep things neat and tidy. Yeah, no, I'll tell you right now, don't bother. Within a couple of days, all those carefully organised pieces were completely mixed up again, and my hours of sorting end up feeling like a huge waste of time. Well, not feeling, they were a huge waste of time because my kids didn't care if they were colour coded. They didn't care where their Lego pieces were. They just wanted to play with them. And so my advice, just get clear, sturdy storage containers big enough to hold Lego sets and don't stress about the color coding. Books became really important during these years. And my boys found favorite series that they couldn't get enough of. But there is only so many books that a house can hold. So the advice is, sign up to your local library. It saves your wallet and it saves you from drowning in books at home. Now, if they do have a particular series that they absolutely love, then we buy that series and they have dedicated space in their room for those books to be. And this makes them more conscious of their choices of what they can have and where they store it, when they know that there is an option just to get it from the library instead. Now, we've also entered the school years, so school uniforms come into the mix of things that need to be organized in their rooms. Now, for me, I keep their uniforms separate to everything else. We have a laundry basket where their school clothes go and nothing else goes in there. And they get washed by themselves and then they get hung on hangers to dry and then go to their rooms. In theory, they go to their rooms if they make it there. But this means that during the week, if their clothes aren't hanging up in their rooms, I at least know that they're hanging on the rack in the laundry, because trying to find school socks in, you know, the five other loads of laundry that are sitting there, yeah, no, it's not fun when you're rushing around the house on a school morning and you can't find the little piece of clothing that they need. One final tip from my own experience is that if you are storing things in storage containers, make them clear so they can see what's in there. Label them. This is if they're going under a bed or going in a cupboard, because my youngest will just pull everything out in the search of this one particular item that he knows is somewhere in his cupboard. And if he can't see in the container, it's not enough just to take the lid off and have a look what's in there. He will pull every single thing out. And this way, at least if he can look in the sides of the container, it might, you know, stop him from pulling absolutely everything out. Lastly, school age kids are starting to really crave that independence. And so involving them in organizing their rooms wherever possible, letting them help to create the systems and encouraging them gently to take some ownership. Their rooms won't be perfect, and that's okay, but giving them this responsibility, it can build their confidence and maybe help keep you a little bit sane, because if it's their idea where things are and how everything's placed, then they're more likely to keep it organized. And then we come to the stage that we are currently in, the tween years. Yes, I cannot believe we are here. I don't know how I've gone from sorting tiny socks to managing full-size wardrobes. Their clothes are now big enough to hang on normal-size coat hangers, which is like a milestone of life. And it means that we're able to get rid of some chests of drawers that we used to use, because now all their clothes are hanging. And so it frees up a lot of space in their room when we don't have to have as much furniture in there. The biggest challenge that we are facing at the moment is the arrival of the gamer desks and chairs. And it seems like overnight their rooms have turned into these little mini gaming stations. And while it feels a bit surreal, it's been a really good opportunity to help them learn about balancing their gaming time. So each night we make sure that the laptops and the screens are all moved out of their bedrooms. It helps set those clear boundaries and ensures they're getting proper rest without the screens interfering. But it is a whole new world when you walk into their room and there's just all these bright screen lights and their keyboards light up and everything like that. This is the stage we're at, and so this is what we're working with. I think that, you know, they would be happy sleeping on a mattress on the floor and having nothing else in their room but those gamer desks and everything. Yep, it's where we are. Something else that has become a part of our lives is musical instruments. My oldest has a drum set, and originally I thought the perfect spot for it was out in the shed, and that's where I set it up. He assured me multiple times that it would fit nicely in his bedroom. And of course, he took matters into his own hands one day when I was out. He quietly relocated the entire drum set into his bedroom. So now my new survival tactic is wearing earbuds while he practices. But again, taking ownership that it's his room and that's what he wants to put in there, no matter how much it might drive me crazy. Sports gear storage is the other challenge that we are at. Really, the boys don't have, well, the older two don't have many toys or if any toys in their rooms anymore, but the sports gear has definitely taken over for this. My system now involves having a dedicated sports bag for each activity. And so after washing, the uniform goes back in. And as soon as the game's finished, all the gear goes back in, like the shin pads and the helmets and the mouth guards. And so then it saves us from running around the house, searching for gear at the last minute. And I know exactly where everything is as we're rushing out the door to practices and games. But this is just something else that then gets put in a certain place in their bedroom. So it's nice and organized and we know where things are. Even though the boys are older, I still do weekly check-ins. And this isn't about tidying up for them, because at this stage, they should be able to handle most of it themselves, but more about making sure that things don't spiral into complete chaos. Doing it weekly feels manageable, and it just means that I give them a little prompt on, you know, have we done this? Do you think we should have a look at that? And usually the answer is no, or an eye roll or something along those lines. But then they have a look and go, oh, Mum's actually being serious. Okay, yep, I better do that. So I found it also helpful to set up some practical storage solutions for the smaller things that they seem to accumulate at the moment, like headphones and chargers and stationery and all the other little random bits. So desk organizers, trays, or clear containers in their cupboard, keeping everything so that it has a spot and isn't just lying around wherever, helps them, you know, locate things a little bit quicker in the trail of clutter and destruction that they leave behind. Now, another tip that I definitely think is relevant for tweens is that it's creating a personal space in their room that reflects their growing personality and independence. And so some sort of pin board or whiteboard or magnetic one or something along those lines where they can hang things like awards or photos of friends or, you know, posters and things that, you know, sports people or Minecraft or whatever it is that they're interested in. And it gives them ownership and pride in their space and makes them generally feel like it's theirs. It's very funny thinking back on how their rooms and our organizational strategies have evolved over the years, watching them grow into their own personalities in their spaces, even with the drums banging and the screens glowing that we're now going through. It's seeing their personalities reflected in their own spaces. So there you have it. I've organized my boys' rooms from those early newborn days right through to the twin years. Every stage has its own type of chaos. And honestly, there's been no perfect system, just trial and error and a whole lot of flexibility. I hope walking you through what's worked for us has given you a few ideas or even just the reassurance that you're not the only one figuring this out as you go. Whether you're tripping over toy tractors or folding endless school uniforms or baby socks or negotiating screen time with your tweens, just know that you're doing a great job. These rooms hold so much more than stuff. They hold our kids' memories, personality, and growth. And while the mess can be overwhelming, it's also a sign of a life being lived, and that's pretty special. I'd love to hear how you've tackled organizing your kids' rooms. Send me a message. Let me know how you go about it. If you've got any great ideas, I'd love to know. And if this episode gave you a few laughs or helpful ideas, I'd be so grateful if you could take a moment to leave a rating or review. Until next time, keep finding those small ways to make your day smoother, your home a little more peaceful, your heart a little lighter, because every small change is helping you to cultivate contentment in your own way. Catch you next time. Thank you for joining me on this episode of Cultivate Contentment. I hope you found inspiration and practical tips to help you on your journey towards a more contented life. If you enjoyed today's episode, please consider subscribing or following the podcast on your favorite platform. And don't forget to leave a review to let me know your thoughts. For more content and community support, be sure to follow on Instagram at Grounded Farm Wife. Remember, you're not alone in this journey. Together, we can continue to cultivate contentment in our lives. Until next time, take care and stay grounded.